Feel that way, and you know when how good it feels whenever you are loved, then think about that when you see somebody else around you that might need a little bit of that same love, that God expresses it through you. Most of us, probably all of us, I guess I could say, would never, until we're raptured, behold Him with our eyes in that fashion. But we have the ability to behold Him every day.
That's right.
Amen. And we need to have that ever before us, constantly. Realize that we're in this together, and the blessings that we can be for one another is tremendous. Amen. Amen. So we'll let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be back with you. You know, it's always nice. You get to go on vacation, get away for a while or whatever, but it sure is good to be able to come back home too. And there's nothing like being with family, being with your church family. And so I wanted just to thank everyone who held down the fort while my wife and I and Catherine were away. Just I know that it's a blessing to be able to do that and have someone I can put confidence in with Daniel and his family and everybody doing their part. And I know we're not a large group, so whenever some of us are missing, it's a big impact. So I know what it's like, but I just want to say thank you to each one of you for carrying on just like it needed to be. And so I want to thank the Lord for a good trip, for his protection. Mighty, you know, Brother Branham said, you can see God in nature. Boy, you sure can out there. That's for sure. Majestic, you know. And I want to tell you something. You know, when I know I've said this several times, but Brother Bisco was sitting up there in Canada with Brother Branham sitting on a mountainside looking out across something like what we just saw. And Brother Bisco said that Brother Branham looked back one way and he looked back across that whole big, and he said, Brother Bisco, he said, that place over there, he said, it's a whole lot like this. So if that's what it's going to be like, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Amen. And I want you to go too. So just want to thank the Lord for a good trip and thank Tim and Catherine for allowing us the privilege, inviting us, and allowing us to go with them. And I couldn't ask for a better trip. It was wonderful. We didn't have any close calls. I know sometimes I probably acted like it whenever I could look out the window and I could see, you know, down in the bottom of a canyon or something, Brother Tim, I'm like sitting over there. But we didn't have any close calls or wasn't anything, and it was just good fellowship, and the Lord really blessed it. So sometimes, you know, the Lord sends something your way, and you really just don't realize what he's doing until after it's over with, and you look back and you realize, I must have needed something. So we want to just thank the Lord for that. This morning, Brother Daniel started out talking about rising up and soaring. And he doesn't know that I was going to be talking to you about eagles this morning. So I want to talk to you this morning about the way of the eagle. And so if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, we'll get started. I don't mean to keep you standing for a long time, but Deuteronomy 32, we'll start at verse 8. And this is talking about the nation of Israel. So when the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Remember, Jacob was Israel, right? His name was changed to Israel. So sometimes when it refers, so he's saying the same thing. Jacob is the Lord's portion, or Israel is the Lord's portion. He found him. He found Jacob in a desert land and in the waste and howling wilderness, and he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Remember what the apple of your eye is that if I'm constantly looking at you, you can see a reflection of yourself in my eye. That's the apple. So when he says that he kept him as the apple, God kept his eye on Israel, right? That's what he's saying. He kept his eye on him. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Amen. Now let's go to the next scripture. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. This is Solomon. Remember, Solomon had a gift of wisdom, right? There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. One of them, the first one, is the way of the eagle in the air, the way of the serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Let's bow our hearts together now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we are Once again, so blessed to be here in the house of God, in a place, Lord, sanctified for your presence, and Lord, something you provided, and a desire and a heart, Lord, to serve you and to come and worship you and just to express our thankfulness to you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, to hear what you have for us today. We just want to thank you for this time and ask God that you would take it, that you would hold it up into your bosom, Lord, and you would just express yourself the way you would desire to be expressed this morning. And Lord, that which you would desire for your people to receive a revelation in this morning, that God, that you would just do that. You would help us, each one, no matter what our age is or male or female. I ask God that you would touch and bless each one, even to the little ones back in the back. Lord, you just let your presence come into this room and be a blessing and speak and do things, Lord, that have eternal value. And we know that that's exactly the way it is when you come. So we just commit this time in your hands, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I said they call this the way of the eagle. I also want to mention it, the wisdom of the eagle. So we know in the scriptures that God likens himself to eagles, right? Because, you know, and I don't guess I really noticed this, but Brother Brown was the one that pointed it out. God likens himself to eagle.
Yep.
Because he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, in eagle's wings. And so you find out that when God wanted to express himself, he wanted to show himself in types and shadows and things, and he wanted to show himself in some of the creatures. And so when he wanted to show himself as a meek one, in an animal form, he chose the lamb. But when he wanted to show himself as a conqueror in animal form, he chose to express himself as a lion. But then he also wanted to express himself as the birds of heaven. So he wanted to show himself in his meek form as a bird of heaven. He showed himself as a dove. That's the type of that. But when he wanted to show himself as a majestic overcomer and in the heavens, he would type himself as an eagle. And so you can see that the way this works is that each of these creatures have characteristics about them that is like what God is. And so when he wanted to show himself as an eagle, there's characteristics about the eagle. And I know I'm not probably not going to say anything you haven't heard this morning. I don't know. But the characteristics of the eagle, that it types the ways of God. So that's why I'm talking about the ways of the eagle. I'm actually talking about the ways of God, and I'm also talking about the ways of his people. So God chose to express himself through the eagles. Now, eagles, I remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking about the spirit of adoption. And sons that are born into the house who are going to be adopted, those sons are predestinated to rise to rule, to rise to be an authority. That's their lot. That's where they're headed. And so Brother Daniel's talking a while ago. I thought he's going to preach my sermon. Where are we headed? Yeah, we're eagles are destined to fly. They are not meant to be earthbound.
Yeah.
They are meant to be up in the heavens. And you know, eagles spend a huge amount of time flying. Not just searching for food and all the different things they do, but they fly a whole lot more than that. And the only thing you can come up with is that they just absolutely like being up there flying.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about them, but I'm sure that what if you could talk to the eagle when he's up there soaring, if you ask him, you know, he would just say, I just like being up here. I like expressing my attributes and abilities that I am that allows me to do this. And so you understand that Brother Bram constantly said he's an odd bird. He's kind of odd. You know, well, we're kind of odd. Christians are odd. But he's odd. He's a lot different than a lot of the other birds. And so he flies a lot because obviously he likes to be up there. And that's his domain.
Yeah.
He rules that. He rules that place, see? Right. He doesn't necessarily rule on the ground. He doesn't necessarily rule in the nest so much. But when you want to put him in his atmosphere where he's to be,
right,
where he's his best, put him up there in the sky soaring, expressing all, and it's all his attributes that he has allows him to do that. No other bird can do it. Not like he does. So he's up there being himself. And Solomon said, we just read it, he doesn't understand that. That's beyond him, right? It's too wonderful for him to understand the way of the eagle and the air, right? Now, I would say, and I don't know, but you know, he did have a gift of wisdom and so forth, but yet God wanted him to say that.
Yeah.
Now, there's a reason. There's a reason why God, and I could just say that here at the end time, God wants us to understand the nature of the eagle and how that applies to us as Christians, that we are the offspring of God, who is a great eagle, and we are his eaglets. So, this is where we're destined. We're destined to be. Now, Brother Rams tells over and over and over, and I love it every time, he talks about that eagle that was born in the chicken pen. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why did he talk about it? And the reason is because you were born in a chicken pen.
Uh-huh.
He explains it. So, you know, he talks about, he says there's a farmer, and I don't suppose a farmer actually did this, but it's a story, it's a typology, a parable. Maybe some farmer did do this, I don't know. But he said a farmer took this eagle egg, found it, he took it out of the nest, he put it down in the hen's nest, and of course, the hen laid on that egg just like any other eggs, and it hatched an eagle out, along with the other eggs, hatching out chickens. So now here's this eagle, and all he knows is everything around him, what he sees, everything else doing, where he's at, and he probably perhaps thinks that he doesn't know any difference.
Mm-hmm.
But yet down inside him, he's not a chicken. See, he's not a chicken. And so something has to happen to make him realize he's not a chicken. And what has to happen has to come somewhere other than the chicken pen.
Yeah.
Because if he looks this way and he looks that way, all he's going to see is chicken nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing down here in this chicken pen is going to tell you you're not a chicken.
Yeah, right.
Everything that you see down here is going to tell you you are a chicken. Uh-huh. Right? So he says that this chicken, he's trying to eat like the rest of them, but something just don't set right. And he's trying to be, and it's all he knows, you know. But yet down inside, there's something in him that's not right with this environment. I can identify with that, okay? And I trust that you can too. And so this world is the chicken pen. And this denominational world is the chicken pen. So all of a sudden one day, Mama Eagle decides, you know, I laid more egg than the ones I had, so she goes looking for it. It's a type of the Holy Spirit. And she goes out and she's flying out to find this child, this little eagle of hers. And she flies over the barnyard, and you know, eagles have really good eyesight, so she sees this eaglet down there, knows it's her child. Now he's down there, he don't have a clue. He don't realize when the eagle flies over, okay? When the eagle flies over and they make that scream, because you know they kill, they eat fresh meat, right?
Yeah.
So when that eagle flies over and lets out that scream, however they do it, something like that, all the chickens run for cover.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid of that voice.
Uh-huh.
But you realize that the eaglet, thinking it was a chicken, but it down inside was different. It wasn't afraid of that voice. My Aunt Mary was telling me this morning, she said, I've been reading the book of Revelation. And a lot of people won't read the book of Revelation. They're afraid of it. She's not afraid to read the book of Revelation.
Right.
She's not afraid of the voice that speaks from that book.
Yeah.
See? But most Christians don't want nothing to do with it.
Right.
Because they're afraid of it. Because it is scary if you don't know what's going on. It is, see? But it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, right? If you don't have the grace of God in your life. So they all run for cover, but that eagle, something different. So we find out that Brother Bram, when he's talking about that, you know, that he hears that cry and he looks up and what he's hearing and seeing when he hears and looks up, he sees something up there that matches the cry that's been in him all along. That there's actually been something in there that says, I'm not an eagle. This is not where I belong. There's something different about me. I can't put my finger on it, but I'm not comfortable here. And when that cry comes forth, then you begin to realize what's laying within you. Okay? So this eagle cries out, and Brother Bram talks about how it cries out and says, Junior, you're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Come up here, you know. What I do, I don't know what to do. He said, just flap your wings and jump. Said he, maybe he flaps or maybe gets up on a stump or something like that. Doesn't do the best in the world at first, but he's off the ground. Right? So he begins. So it's this voice that cries from heaven that begins to reveal to him who he really is.
Yeah.
And in that revelation of who he is, he begins to act different. And he begins to start to express attributes like the one that's calling him from above.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Brother Bam talked about this over and over and over. Why? Because you were born in this world, but you don't belong here.
Amen.
You're in this chicken pen, but you don't belong in the chicken pen. And so, and I'm going to say this, he's not trying to make you think that, well, you know, I'm this, but it's like I'm an eagle. I want you to know that he's telling you, you are God's eagles.
Yeah.
If God likens himself to an eagle, and he's likening you to his offspring, then you're eagles. And like I said the other day, the son comes to the place where he can do just like father, then the little eagle can eventually grow, and through the leadership of the parent, the same attributes as in that eaglet that's in the mama papa eagle, but that can be developed and come to the place to where the little eagle grows up and can be just like mama and papa. Do everything that mama did everything papa did. Right? So that's that same thing carries over here with this. So he talked about that a lot because you are God's offspring. You're his eaglets. Now, born in a chicken pen. Now think about it. Born in the midst of a whole lot of creatures that aren't eagles.
Right.
Think about it. You think, man, this world is so odd, and the more I try to serve God, the more this world is offensive to me, or I just don't fit in. The more I read the Bible, the more I don't like what I'm in. That's because you're in a chicken pen, and that chicken pen has got all these creatures around you that are not eagles. So when they hear the voice of the word screaming forth, they run and hide from it.
Uh-huh.
They go hide under the denominational bushel or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So you see what I mean? And so, in the midst of creatures all around you that are not eagles, and born in the midst of a place that's designed to house chickens.
Uh-huh.
But it's not designed to house eagles.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Right? It's a system and a world and a frame and a pen or whatever that's designed in such a way that it is an obstacle to the chickens. And so the attributes that a chicken have cannot overcome the walls of the pen.
Yeah.
But an eagle's different. An eagle has different attributes, it's a different life, different gene, and the genetics that's in that life of that eagle cannot be held down by that pen, that chicken pen, once that eagle realizes who they are.
Yeah.
Right? You can't hold it no more. And so that's just how it is. So what the eagle needs, that scream, that cry from above, to speak to it and begin to cause it to realize, I'm not a chicken.
Right.
And this pen cannot hold me.
Right.
Because I hear something from above that's calling me, and I can see a mirror to that inside me.
Yep.
Right? I see something inside me that matches that, and that is telling me I don't have to stay here forever.
Amen.
That's telling me that I have within me what it takes underneath his guidance to rise up from this place.
Amen.
So that's what he's telling us. This is speaking of the rapture. that of all generations they all been held down by the chicken pen. Right. But we're here, we come into a time that under a prophet, God likens himself to eagles and his prophets as eagles. So we have a vindicated eagle scream in this hour. By the way, fourth horse rider, come all the way there. Now this one's like a flying eagle. And this one actually gives a name to that fellow that he was, that the whole world don't know who he is, but he's death. But this eagle cries out and says, that fellow's death. So, and he's the same voice that's saying that that's a chicken pen. So here you are, you're eagles, and this is speaking of rapture, that we can absolutely, under the voice of this prophet, come to the revelation that we weren't chickens to begin with. That by birth we've always been eagles, even when we didn't understand it, but now we're starting to understand it, and because of that, we're going to have a rapture shortly. We're going to have a body change. We're going to rise up and soar out of this place right into the heavens where we belong, that Brother Daniel was mentioning a while ago. That's where we're headed. We're destined to that spot.
That's right.
By birth. By birth, eagles are eagles. They come with that genetic. It's what they are, and they can't be nothing different. And if they're trying to be something different, it's just pretending.
Right.
See? So the only thing that will truly satisfy and put that eagle in its element is when those attributes inside it is fully developed and they take to the sky.
Amen.
That's where they're supposed to be. And that's where they are representing God.
That's right.
Amen? We believe that. So it's by birth that they have these attributes and these abilities. Now, eagle will not eat rotten meat. An eagle will not eat rotten food.
That's right.
You got buzzards, you got crows, you got all this other stuff, and they don't mind eating rotten food. But an eagle, now remember, I'm talking about you. An eagle will not eat rotten food. Now, what is rotten food? It's food that was killed a few days ago, yesterday or day before or a few weeks ago. It's food that was good on one day, but it's not good now.
Right?
Because it's rotten, and they won't eat that. So what that's telling you is that the eagle has by gene, because they're an eagle, they have an appetite that says, I must have present day Jesus Christ revelation in my life now, or I'm not satisfied and I'm not being strengthened. I've got to have that meat now. See? And so even though Luther had meat for his day, we can't feast off that now because it's rotten now. You understand what I'm saying? You say, Brother Tony, that's a message from God. Sure, but if that's all you're trying to go for, it's rotten. Because remember the manna. The manna, if they were supposed to gather enough for each day, and on the sixth day would gather twice as much so they could have it for the Sabbath. And if they didn't eat it all, the next day when it would come up, they'd look at it, it had bread worms and stank. See? Food from God for today. If you try to carry it over and live off of it tomorrow, it stinks.
Right.
It's rotten. You can't get strength from it. But if you're not an eagle, you can. If you're not an eagle, you can embrace Luther, embrace Wesley, embrace Pentecost, be a Baptist, be a Methodist, whatever, and be happy with that. Because you got something in you that can accept that. You got a gall or whatever it is, Brother Ram talked about how doves or whatever, but you've got an appetite that says, hey, I can eat this old stuff. But eagles don't have that kind of appetite. Eagles must have fresh kill for the day.
That's right.
Right? And by the way, fresh kill. They go out and they rip that. That's what their eagle is. It's a ripper with a beak or a feeder with a beak. So it speaks of a character to go out and seize upon the word of God for their day.
Amen.
Not just sit around and wait to be fed, because baby eagles are like that, because mama feeds them. Uh-huh. Not just sit around and just, well, I wish God would send me a blessing today. But what is it? They have something in them. They go out and they find that food.
Amen.
And they seize upon it and they feed with it. And so that's what An attribute there we're talking about is the fact that they won't eat rotten meat. Now, eagles, Brother Ram said they're odd. Uh-huh. So Christians are odd. Eagles will build their nest high on a cliff, high up in a high up place, maybe the top of a tree or something, but high up in the cleft of the rock. You can read the scriptures where it talks about these things. High up there in the cleft of the rock, they'll build their nest up there. Why do they go way up there? Why do they build their nest way up there? And it's to get away from predators, right? To get away from predators. So, that's their home. That's their home. That's where they live each day. That's where they bring up their little ones. And so the eagle, we're talking about the way and the wisdom of an eagle, the eagle will build their nest high up in a place where all the prey of the world that can feast upon all the other birds and things like that, where they can't get up there. See? So you children, if you think that your parents are too strict and they want to keep too much of the world from you, all they're trying to do is build a nest high on a cliff away from all the predators, yeah. Right? Because the eagles got good eyesight and they can soar around us. They spend a lot of time and they got eyes to see, and I guarantee you they watch the coyote get the hawk or whatever, and they watch the different preys get all the different ones, and he says to himself, you know what? Just bear with me. You know what? I see that if you build your nest down there, then this can get you. And if you build your nest, then that can get you. And so I'm just not going to build my nest down there amongst all that stuff, because I don't want my children to be consumed by some prey. So I'm going to put myself, my home, I'm going to place it up here where these things can't be there. Because when I see that cigarettes and drinking and all the filth of the world, when I can see those predators get them when you're in that position, I'm going to put myself up here where they can't even get there.
Yeah.
That's the way they build their home. That's the way that a true eagle wants to have his home, away from all this stuff.
Yeah.
Why did they do that? Because they got wisdom. God-given wisdom as an eagle. Is this okay?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to go on with it anyway, because I know it's right, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's truth. So we find out that also eagles feed their children, their young, with meat. Now, I already told you, they're a ripper with a beak. They have to have fresh meat for the day. And then they take that same gospel meat, that same revelation of God doing a mighty work in our day, they take that and they feed that to their children. Because they realize that the same food, the same things that I eat that gives me overcoming power in my life each day, it'll give my children overcoming power if they eat the same thing. So that's why your parents talk to you about Jesus. They talk to you about a prophet, about a message in this day. Why? Because they're eagles and they want to give to you the same food that gives them strength.
Yep.
And we're talking about under an eagle message now. Not under Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, but now under the four horse rider, where the eagle goes forth, and now the church is coming to a place that everybody born under this message can eat meat right off the bat. Even fresh born babes can take that word of God coming from a prophet and just consume it and build strength by it.
Yeah.
But you've got to eat it.
Yeah.
See? So you think, well, my parents are always sharing this, tell me this and all about that. They're trying to give you strength because they know that works in their life.
Right.
That's the way it works. So they feed their young the same food that they eat. Now the scriptures lets us know this, but Brother Ram talked about it. He talked about seeing this. And by the way, I went out and tried to do a little bit of research. There's all kinds of infidels out there trying to tell you that a lot of these attributes about this eagle is not right. And they'll talk about it, say, oh, that's just because it's just coming from that Bible nonsense. But the Bible said the eagles are like this.
Yeah.
They build their nest way up high, and they bear their young on their eagle's wings. They try to deny that, but they bear their young on eagle wings. And so this one attribute says that they bear, here that they bear their young on eagle's wings. And so we know that an eagle, typing the Christian, they have a left wing and a right wing.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny in politics, you got left wing, right wing, but don't confuse it with that. We have an Old Testament, we have a New Testament.
That's right, yeah.
And it takes both of them to fly correctly. Because if you only have one, you're going to fly in circles. And you know what a circle is? You're going in circles. A dead man walk or eagles flying around in circles are not going to get anywhere. But it takes balance. I had a man tell me one time I was reading. I was sitting on the couch reading. And I was reading. And I was diligently going through the travels of the children of Israel. They went from here and they went to there. And I was watching their progress as they went through. And I don't know how long I've been sitting there, for quite some time. And this person said to me, said, "What you reading there?" So I'm reading, you know, in the Old Testament, the whatever. He said to me, he said, "You got to be careful reading in that Old Testament. You got to be careful with that." Mm-hmm. See? He wanted to stay with the New Testament. Didn't really want much to do with the Old. And so, but then I know people, I got them in my family, that they want to live in the Old Testament more than the New. They want to be like Jews. They want to change their diet. They want to do this, and they want to have go live in tents for a week once a year.
Yeah.
Right? They want to do that. Why? Because they got the Old Testament wing they're trying to fly with. And the other example had a New Testament wing, but not the Old. And see, they all fly in circles.
Yeah.
Because it takes Old and New. And Jehovah of the Old is Jesus of the New. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And what God did in the Old, he does in the New. And as long as you can embrace it and know that revelation, then it can you can fly straight and you can get somewhere with that Old and New Testament.
That's right.
Right? An Old Testament prophet in a New Testament generation.
Yep.
Right? And so we know that they put their children on their wings, and they, in other words, the parents, they'll put their children on that strength of the word of both the Old and New Testament. They'll pick them up and soar into the realm of heaven and the Spirit with that Old and New Testament, and those children packing. So those children can know by experience, by they've seen what God did with my parents. As they soared with this word, and they packed me through the years, and God would heal us and do different things. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Them children could experience the power of that Old and New Testament and what it can do for you if you'll just use it.
Yeah.
If you'll just believe it. And so they lift up their children, bear them on eagle's wings, and when they're still children, and there's something, a problem, Brother Rem gives the example. We got to listen to what this man is telling us.
Yeah.
Because he's here for a purpose. And these things he's saying is for us to understand this. He talked about that eagle, and you take her little ones was out there on the prairie, and they were just having a good old time out there on the grassy field. Right? But danger was approaching. I think it was the storms what he talked about. See?
Yeah.
And so danger's approaching, and them. She let out some sort of sound, and them eaglets would jump on there and grab hold of them wings, and she'd raise them wings up with them little ones on there and fly right up into the safety away from the danger. That's your parents. See?
Yeah.
Our heavenly parent does this, but that's your parents trying to teach you the Word of God and show you that if you'll stay with the Bible, you can soar right out of danger and into safety. If you just use the wings of the eagle. And your parents do that because parents are supposed to be an example to their children, because one day those children won't have to have parents to bear them on their eagle's wings. They'll be mature enough and they'll set their wings and go soar in the heavens right alongside mama and daddy.
That's
right.
But while they're still under mama and daddy's rule, while they're still there, mom and daddy want him to experience the power of those wings of that Old Testament, New Testament, the Bible, of what it can do for you if you just stay with it and believe it.
Amen.
And use it. We find out that the eagles can fly higher than any other bird. And I'll say it this way, fly higher than any other denominational bird.
Right?
Because this Bible speaks of the harlot system, Babylon, that it was a cage of every hateful and unclean bird. Hateful birds and unclean birds. Now, eagles aren't in there. The eagles aren't in that group. But there's all kinds of birds. So if we're like eagles, some of them's like chickens. There's hateful and unclean birds and so forth. But eagles have the ability to fly and soar higher than any of these others because they're made that way. Brother Bram's talked over and over about it. He said, an eagle's built in a way that they can go that high. If you know anything about airplanes, you can't just take any airplane and get really high with it. It takes a plane that's made for that height. You can take one that flies just fine down here, but there's a maximum altitude that plane can fly. And if you really want to get up there, it's got to be built for that. And what it takes to build one to soar that high is a whole lot more technology than it was just to fly right down here. Now, what are we talking about? Oh, the denominational birds, they can fly down here just fine, but they can't go there because they're not built for it.
That's right.
They're not predestinated for it. The gene that's in them has not told them they can be there. But for the eagles, they have something inside them that places them there. They can be there because they're built for it.
That's right.
They're built for it. Their feathers are tight enough. And you know what? When you get up there, the air gets thinner. I just found that out a few days ago. I texted a guy I work with. I texted him a picture. We were over 11,000 feet. And I said, I need air. Because it's thinner up there.
Yeah.
Well, if it's thinner, it takes a better wing to be able to propel yourself. You still weigh the same amount up there as you do down here. But the air is thinner, so it takes tighter feathers, bigger wings. It takes a higher technology, I'll put it that way, to be able to soar up there like that.
Right.
See what I'm saying? And there's only one bird that's designed to be like that, and that's the eagle.
Yeah.
They're designed to soar up there for that purpose. Now, Brother Branham said, now what good would it do if you got up there and then couldn't see nothing?
Yeah.
This is another thing. Natural taught spiritual. They take these airplanes and they're designed to fly super high so other nations can't shoot them down. They get so high that their missiles and bullets can't reach. And you know what they do with them planes? They put super powerful cameras on them so they can look down and take photos of enemy territory.
Yeah.
So what good would it do to build a plane that can soar 50,000 or however many feet up they go? I've flown 50,000 feet myself. And you think you're going into outer space. Most planes, maximum they get is about 30 to 33, something like that. But I was in our company plane coming back one time, and there were storms, and they kept requesting, and they went above the storms.
Yeah.
And I looked, and it had a thing reading right there where I could look up on the wall, and we were 50,000 feet above all the storms.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Special build, a plane that could do it. Now, that plane's obviously can't go like the military was, but it's built in such a way that when there's a problem, they just rise up above it and go right over it.
Amen.
See? That's eagles. God made them that way so they can rise up and just go above the whole thing. And by the way, once they get there, they can see. They have eyes good enough to see. Because what good would it do to be up there and not be able to look down? So they can see further than anybody else. I can tell you that eaglets underneath the prophetic voice of their eagle prophet and God as their eagle parent, they can see a lot further than anybody else in any other religious ranks of anywhere on the earth.
Yeah.
They have such good eyesight under this revelation. They have such good eyesight that they can look out and they can look what was, what is, and what shall be.
Yeah.
Right? We're the only people that can truly look back in our history. We can see where we come from, why we're here, and where we're going.
Yeah.
We're the only people who can do that. Because they just can't see it. They're not made to see it. Now remember, I'm talking about birds that aren't made to fly high, birds that can't see like you, birds that, you know what I'm saying? Remember, you're in a world of chickens. They don't have what you have. And so the death sentence or the statement that the pen makes, the walls of that pen makes to that chicken every day, those walls are saying to that chicken, you'll never get out of here. But those walls don't say that to an eagle. Those eagles look at that, and at one time they said, well, I'm just stuck here for life. But once they hear that revelation come from above, when Mama, Papa Eagle screams, once they catch that, those walls begin to look pretty small.
Yeah.
They begin to rise. This world's not going to hold me. One of these days, I'm going to rise up underneath this message and the information, the revelation that is, I'm going to rise up and leave this place. So we begin to realize that. They can see further. They can see what was, where we come from. They can see what's going on now. You know, if we couldn't see what's going on now, then our hearts would be failing for fear like everybody else's. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So we can see now and we can see where we're headed. Because God has made us to see that. See that way. And I said a while ago, they spend a huge amount of time in the air. Huge amount of time expressing the attributes that they have above and beyond what the other birds don't. You know what I'm saying? Their attributes, see? When an eagle's up there soaring higher than all the others, he's expressing God above all those who don't.
Yeah.
Right? This is where he's destined. This is where God wants him. God doesn't want him to stay there in the chicken pen all the time. God wants him up here showing that God's in him.
Yeah.
And that the life of God in him make him as much higher than any of this other stuff. And you can say, well, isn't that boastful? Isn't that bragging? No. No. I've said this before, and I think there was a movie where it said like it, but it's not bragging if it's the truth.
Right.
And I'm not the kind of person, you know, I'm not the kind of person to brag, okay? I'm not. But when God has called you to something, you can't do anything but that. You've got to go with it. And if God has called us and told us we can soar above the limits of this world, then that's exactly where we belong. And to be in the will of God, we got to get there. Amen?
Amen.
We believe that. Another thing that Brother Ram talks about, and seems to be just a little confusing with some people, I guess, but eagles can renew themselves, renew their youth, right? You know about the molting period where they, if I understand correctly, they have to change out feathers. They change their feathers out to get new feathers,
yeah,
and their beak. So the instruments that makes them what they are sometimes have to be renewed. And so they go through this period where they're molting, and you know about how other eagles come and drop meat and stuff to them while they're in this period because they can't go out and kill but for themselves. They can't, they're just on the ground or whatever. But others will get them through this, and eventually they get through it. And once they get through and they have new feathers and their beak is back into the place that it should be, I'm not sure exactly what all happens to it, but once they get to that place, they're like new again. Now, Brother Branham actually said, I read it this morning, he said, you know, they say that, you know, eagles get, you know, renew themselves, become young again. He said, we find out they don't actually get young again. He said, but what they do is they get to feeling so good that they act young.
Yeah.
See? And so so that's what happens. The eagle, after we're like, Christians are like this, you know, we soar and we have victories in our life, and then we move into a cycle where you don't have the victory and the word's not speaking to you, or not soaring like you know you should be. And you have a longing for that, and you might have this spell for however long it is, and you're in a molting period. See, that's not your defeat. Satan wants to tell you you're lost right then. No, you just tell him, no, Satan, I'm not. I'm an eagle. And I'm just getting me some new feathers so I can soar better.
Yeah.
I'm just getting me a new beak. See, he wants you to think that, you know, but we all go through that. Mm-hmm. And so the thing about it is that the eagle has the ability that when he gets down in the molly grubs, he's got something in him that can come back and renew himself. And once he's renewed, he goes back to acting like he was prior to the time he was in molting. Right? Everybody follow that?
Yeah.
So a Christian has something in their spirit. We all go through ups and downs, and we go into valleys. We all have valleys, but we've got something in us that's guaranteed to put us back on the mountaintop.
Yeah.
That's Christians for you. Guaranteed. Why? Because you've got it in you to begin with. There's no way in the world you can keep that eagle down in that chicken pen once it hears that cry from mama. No way to keep it there. There's no way to stop this rapture from happening to people who are listening to Papa or Mama Eagle through a prophetic voice. You can't stop it for nothing in the world.
Yeah.
Because they've got the gene in them to match it. And if they didn't, they'd take cover and run when they hear it.
Yeah. That's right.
The fact that you're still setting the presence of this word as sharp and cutting as it can be. The fact you're still sitting here and saying, tell me more, Brother Tony. Tell me more, Brother Daniel.
Amen.
That in itself shows you that you're not a chicken.
Right.
You're standing there and saying, tell me more about it. I want to know. I think I believe you. I think I can rise up out of here. Tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
And so the word speaking through the ministry each week, through Brother Branham, through the tapes, through the ministry here, we're speaking to you. You're an eagle. You're not a chicken. You've never been a chicken. And you don't have to stay there. You can come up out of this and start jumping and flapping your wings. That eagle nature will kick in. That's what the word's telling you.
Yeah.
So they can renew themselves. And while you're going through that time, you look over at your neighbor, you're not going through it, and you look over at your neighbor, eaglet, and they are, you make sure you take some of that word that you rip
yes.
loose
Amen.
For the day.
Uh-huh.
And you go over there and you stick it in their mouth.
Amen.
Make sure that you do that to your brothers and sisters. Because they'll come out of it shortly.
That's right. Amen.
And if anything tells you that they're something other than that, you better pray. Because they're brothers and sisters. They're eagles. They have the same gene and they're destined for the same place. And they'll come out of it. So you be sure and share what God has in your life with them until they're nourished back to strength. And so they have within him the ability for all these attributes I just named. That's what an eagle is. That's what they can do. And so, in other words, they have the ability just to be like mama and like papa. Now I'm going to tell you something. The mama and papa eagle are the ones feeding that word, building that nest away from the things of the world. They know what they're doing. They've been there. They know the dangers. They know why that they're protective. Right? What do you think about a little eagle says, you know what, I'm not staying in this nest. It's too strict. And he leaves the nest and goes crawling out across the rocks. And what do you think is going to happen to him shortly? Hope you're listening. You can't, if you leave the nest of the word that God has got for you, it's not going to be good. And so, we have the ability to be just like Mama and Papa Eagle. Now, when Mama Eagle, I think Brother Brent said actually Mama is a bigger body, bigger than the Papa. The church has more presence and influence on your life, right? Because you're, you know, it's important, and we express to one another. And you have a papa, but that whole thing is expressed through the church a lot. Not to tell you that you don't have a a papa, but he said, you know, the female's bigger. But he said, now, the parents, whether it's mama, papa, whatever, they build this nest. And he said, and it's true, if you've seen any kind of bird nest, you see what they build it out of. But these eagles will go out and they get briars and branches and stuff, and they intertwine, you know, because briars got edges on them, and so they can form these nests with these things with thorns on them. You know, if you ever try to get entangled with a thorn bush, you know what happens. They're all hooked together, and you wind up getting pricked when you're trying to do something with them. But they build their nest out of these things like that because they know that's what's required to make a strong nest. Okay? But they also, now I'm talking about the wisdom, the way of an eagle, the wisdom of an eagle. The eagle's looking and says, I'm going to build a nest, and I got to build it for every circumstance that's coming that I need to deal with. I got to build me a nest that the storms and things won't blow it away. It's got to be strong. It's got to be fortified. And the eagle knows that he can't go down and get feathers and fur and things like that and come up here and build him a nest and it be strong. In other words, the feel-good things. The feel-good things, you can't build a strong nest with that, right? So what he does is they go out and they get things that hurt, things that are prickly, things that don't feel good, but yet they have the strength. And they form all that together to make this nest that can hold the storm, and yet it wouldn't be comfortable.
Yeah.
And so then after they build all that, then they go get the feathers or the fur off of the animals that they eat, and they line the inside of that nest with feel-good stuff. Because the mama papa eagle knows that when we have our little eaglets, the thorns and the briars and all this prickly stuff is not going to be good for them. They're little eagles. They're not ready for the harsh things of life. So we're going to protect them. We're going to keep them safe and secure, and we're going to give them an easy ride for a while. We're going to take care of everything the young people need, our children, right? So you notice, you can't build anything lasting on just feel-good stuff.
That's right.
I was telling a brother yesterday, I said, anything, I think it was yesterday, I said, you know, if you want something to last, it takes a while to get it there.
Yeah.
I said, you could slap together a house in one day and a storm would take it away pretty easy.
Yep.
But if you want a house that's going to last for a while, it takes a while to build it. Hard work. Hard work, hard work to finally get something structurally sound enough. In other words, if you don't put some pain into it, there's no gain in it.
Yeah.
So if there's not thorns and briars and prickly things in it, there's no strength in it. So if your life, this modern generation, I hope you're hearing this, if your life is nothing but feel-good stuff, you have no strength to carry you through. If your home's built on nothing but, oh, it just feels good and we just do only the things we like, it's not going to work. You'll have no strength for your home. But if your home is built on hard work, then it takes a while to get something significant.
Yeah.
And everybody now, these young people, they like, I want to have what mom and dad have, and I want to have it now.
Uh-huh.
Took mom and dad 30 years to get what they got.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So if your home is built on hard work and it takes a while, and you stay at that grindstone day after day after day, even when you don't feel like it, you just do it anyway, then that builds the kind of structure that'll last. No, it don't feel good. It don't feel good getting up every morning at 6 or 5 a.m. and going to work every day. It don't always feel good like that. There's many days it don't, but you got to pull your feet out of bed and go ahead and do it anyway. Because that's the way you provide for your family the strength and security of their home and their future.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Uh-huh.
And so this modern generation would say, well, just stay in bed, Dad. If you don't feel like going, just don't go. Just do what feels good. And if you go that route, your life's going to end pretty quick.
Right.
See, it's all in the wisdom of an eagle. They know that they've got to build structural something very strong. And yet, they have to soften it for their children. some point in that child's life, you start pulling the stuffing out of the nest. At some point, you start making it a little bit uncomfortable for them.
Yep.
Right? Because remember, the destiny of that baby eagle is right out there in the sky.
That's right.
Not back here in this nest. But yet, for a while, that nest is where they need to be. So the wisdom that is put in there, this eagle knows how to make this strong, but yet soften it, knowing there's coming a time that he's going to pull all that out of there, and now this eagle's not going to be comfortable in this nest anymore. So you young people, mom and dad's carried you all the way, but eventually they start saying, you know what, you need to buy that new pair of shoes.
Yep.
You need to mow the lawns, or you need to do this, you need to do harder. You got to, what are they doing? They're pulling the stuffing out of the nest because they know you cannot stay in that nest forever.
That's right.
That you've got to rise to that place where you get out there and soar and become that full-fledged adult where you can go forth in your own strength and not rely on the parents no more.
Amen.
That's the wisdom of this eagle doing this. You can probably look at other animals. They do the same thing, but we're talking about eagles. So this eagle builds this nest, knowing that the time will come where he's going to pull the things out of there and force that eagle to want to leave the nest. Purposely. So God made this world, right? The nest of the world. He made this world knowing the day would come when it would decay and fall apart. Knowing that the time would come when he would start pulling the soft things out and begin to make the Christian cry out, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In other words, let me get out of this nest and start soaring. Yeah. Knowing that he would come, purposely designing this world so man could corrupt it the way they have, and that you and I would get uncomfortable with it and begin to cry out and say, God, we got to get out of here.
Right.
This is not a comfortable place no more.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, if you open your eyes for the last 3 years, things went down so fast that I'm cautious about where I go now or when I'm going to think about it. Where am I going? What am I going to run into? We stopped at a place out there in Colorado. And this is not funny, but it is funny, but it's not because of the poor soul. But we stopped at a place and we started in little gas station or something like that. And here comes this guy, and I was in the back, my wife was in front of me, and I think Tim and Catherine are in front. And this guy comes out, and he's got fangs sticking out his mouth and blood streaks coming down his chin. I guess tattooed on, I don't know. They looked real to me, the teeth did, I don't know. But he, you know, body modification, all that nonsense. And here he comes out, and he's walking by, and my wife, you know, think about it. So what has man done? Look how corrupted it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because he came out and he was sitting at the end of his car, and we got back in, was fixing to leave, and this woman comes in and she pulls in beside him and she looks over and she backs back out. She didn't want no part to do with this guy, you know. But you understand, it's come to be a place where God says, look, he built the world in such a way that it will decay, it will corrupt, it's going to have to be renewed. And the concept is that the believer, they start getting uncomfortable. Because I'm going to tell you something. If God continues to feed us all the comforts of life, we'll never take a body change. Now you catching what I'm saying? It's got to get rough. It's got to get to the place where we quit relying so much on the feel good.
That's right.
So God gets rid of the feel good. So every time you hear new bombs created and tested by the guy over there in North Korea, every time there's a new threat of war, every time there's another mass shooting, that's stuffing being pulled out of the nest. Because
right.
God don't want you to be comfortable here anymore.
That's right.
You couldn't say that in Luther's day, Wesley's day, Pentecost, but under the eagle's cry, you can say that now. God don't want you to be comfortable in this world anymore. And so that's what that is. That's Papa Eagle, Mama Eagle, pulling out the stuffing out of this world, out of this nest, because he knows it's time for you to take to the air.
Yeah.
It's time for you to soar as the eagle and go where you're supposed to go. He knows that. He wants you, he's pulling this stuff in out because he wants you to realize you can't stay here in this world forever. You can't stay here with what's coming. Right? You know, you take a house and, you know, a storm comes through it, it rips part of the roof out and you know, something flies through the wall, and at some point there's just holes all through the roof and all through the walls, and at some point that house gets so degraded that you can't live there anymore. That's what happens to our bodies. It gets to the place where you just can't stay there any longer because you sit in there and you might as well just be outside because rain's coming through and getting on you, snow's coming through, the wind's coming through, you're freezing, you might as well just be out under a tree. So it's not even fit anymore. And this world is falling apart and decaying and getting to the place where it comes, where it's not even fit for an eagle to stay here anymore.
Yep.
See? Not even fit for the eagle to be there in that chicken pen any longer once they know. Once you know who you are, then this stuff don't satisfy anymore. And this is the thing, we've not reached this threshold yet. But as eagles, underneath this message, God is bringing us to the revelation where we reach this point of no return, where we realize we don't belong here. And we don't have to stay here anymore because our revelation has told us I don't have to put up with this pen no more.
Right.
See what I'm saying? We got to reach that threshold. And so this chicken, he starts, or this eagle, he starts pulling all that stuffing out. And at some point, that eagle's like, oh, that hurts. What are you doing that for? Because of the intelligence of Papa Eagle, he knows what he's doing. And so eventually, now, at some point in time, it gets to the place where there's no place at all in that nest that eagle can be comfortable in. No more! Nothing satisfies in this world anymore. Are you headed that way? See what I mean? And so you finally, and this has to be a revelation from the chick, from the eagle itself, is that they come to that spot and they say, you know what? I've reached this point where it's better to go ahead and jump out of here and by faith start testing these wings that mom and daddy tell me I've got, that I can be just like them. That becomes more important than the world, the nest.
Yeah.
Until you finally make that jump. You finally make that plunge and jump out there. And as Brother Branham gives the example, says, jump, jump, you're an eagle, start flopping your wings and jump. And what Brother Branham is telling us here is that when that happens, you may not take a body change the first time you jump and flap your wings. But you'll get up on, at least up on a stump or at least up on a fence post or something like that, right? Isn't that what he said? Because you're an eagle, if you'll try to flap your wings and jump, you'll get somewhere. And if you do it again, you'll get further. And you do it again, you'll get further. And at some point, you'll break free and never have to come back. You see what I mean? You can go on and soar. So it comes to that place in that eagle's life where it has to have its own revelation to realize, I don't need to stay here anymore. This is killing me.
Yeah.
Why am I living below my privilege?
Yes.
When I could be out there, what is this? Mm-hmm. The thing that I once cherished, it's not canker to me now. Right?
Yeah.
The thing that I once held dear to me is now eating on me like a canker worm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The scriptures talk about people who heap to themselves riches, that their riches, the rust of those riches, will eat like a canker.
Yeah,
right? And that at the last days, they're heaping up to the last days. See, the fire, the judgment that's come upon them, when people grab these things and hold on to these things and they go to judgment, that being your God or that being the thing that you're holding to, you go to judgment and it just eats and burns you because that's what you've heaped to yourself.
Yeah.
See? So if you're just sitting here holding on to the nest of the world and it's poking you and pricking you and it don't feel good, why hold on to it anymore?
Yeah.
when you can live a whole lot higher.
Yes.
See? So that's where the eagle is to be. And they have to come to that revelation that God don't want me down here no more. Mm-hmm. God does not want me here anymore. He wants me soaring with him. You come to that place where you realize that. We come to the place to realize that the world is falling apart and it's temporal. It's temporary. Right? Now that eagle's sitting in the nest and all it knows is the nest, you know, and I know it looks out there and says, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I know mom and daddy do it. I know God does it. I know he soars out there. He speaks things into existence. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. I don't know how that works. But he's telling me that I've got that same life in me. Right?
Right.
Now, I don't know how this works. And it never gets explained how it works. You just got to do it by faith.
Yeah.
See? It just has to, you just have to come to that place where you just leap into the arms of faith and you go with it. See? And so... That's what we all want in our lives, is for that to happen. So now, the world is falling apart, and it's temporary. Right? So we're going to look. He's telling us, you've got to look off out there to the unseen, because you're going to, oh, what? You don't know how that works. But you got to look to the unseen, and rather than looking here at this thing that's visible. So if she'll pull up 2 Corinthians, we're just almost done. So, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, not the nest anymore, right? But the things which are not seen. So everything outside of the nest out there where you need to be soaring is what I'm talking about. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so this is where God's bringing us to realize this world is falling apart. That's why Brother Branham, remember, everything that man, every sermon, those are there for a reason, and the spiritual mind catches this and realizes this man was telling us what we're talking about now. We're realizing this world is falling apart. This nest is coming undone. God made it that way, so it would be that way, knowing that at this time, when it's time for us to leave this nest, he was going to let these things fall apart like this.
Yeah.
Right? You say, well, that's man doing all this, all these shootings and all that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Bram said that World War I was a birth pain. Now, World War I was evil men with evil desires carrying out evil actions.
Yep.
But it was a birth pain. God using to birth a millennium.
Right?
World War II was evil men carrying out evil things. But it's a birth pain.
Yep.
Right? So God is in all of it. See? So when these things happen, when he knows that they're having another mass shooting or something like that, he knew that. He knew that, and that's part of that stuffing coming out. It's all his program. He's not making these people do that, but by foreknowledge, he knows exactly what's going to happen, and his program moves right on anyhow. And so we want to look not at the things that are seen, not at the things that make us feel good or now don't make us feel good, but all the things that we seem to have had security in is no longer security to us anymore. The things that we once were okay with now is a problem for us, you know. The burdens of life and the cares of this world and so forth. Now, to the believer, it gets to the place where it's a burden to him. It's like, I don't even want to have to deal with this. I want to be soaring with God. I want to, you see what I mean? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Why would they say that? Because what's here ain't very good.
Amen.
And that's why they want to go there.
Yep.
So, we look to the things that are unseen. So the eagle has to come to the place in his life where he believes. And he really, really believes. And he says, you know what? This world is a chicken wing. It is. I'm convinced of that now.
Amen.
And I do not belong here. You do not belong here. I'm hearing a voice that's telling me that I don't have to stay here much longer. Come to believe that. I don't have to be here much longer because I hear a voice that even back when I was in Pentecost, I had a hunger and I knew there's something more. And this voice is telling me what I was looking for.
Yeah.
It is helping me, and I see an image there of what I see in me. You come to realize that this voice I'm hearing really is my papa, my mama. That I really am an eagle. And I do have in me the genetics that underneath the leadership of this voice I'm hearing, I'm going to grow into a full-size, full-strength eagle. And I am going to take a rapture. I am going to leave this nest one of these days. You come to that place where you really begin to believe that. So you believe that. And how much do you believe it? A lot more than what you heard when you was a chicken in the chicken pen. Not a chicken, but in the chicken pen. A lot more than that. Because at one time, that's all you knew. But at some points, the revelation of being that eagle begins to gain preeminence, and all that other stuff that you used to give heed to fades away. Everybody follow me? It fades away, and this becomes more important. Becomes more important to get out of the nest and out there. So you begin to realize, you know what? This is my parent. I am eagle, and this thing's going to work. Because I wouldn't be hearing it. I'd be hiding from it. It wouldn't be speaking to me. I wouldn't be enjoying it if it wasn't. Right? Now the world can say whatever they want. But Jesus Christ made himself very, very manifested and expressed through the life of William Branham. And he did things that nobody else did. Right? Because God in him doing that. Right? We know that. So we've got a vindicated prophetic voice that we've been listening to that's telling us that we can leave. That we don't have to stay here much longer. So you begin to believe that you really are, and you begin to realize that, you know what, there is something in me, and that's what makes me who I am. It's not of the flesh, it's not of your mind, but down in my soul there was something there all the time. We call it seed gene of God. It was there, and it's because of that I like this message. Because of that I hear this voice crying. And so because of that, all fears and scares go away. I know who I am, and I know this won't fail.
That's right.
Because he's calling me. And that I can really be like Papa. I can really soar and travel like a thought one of these days, just like Papa. So what do? Start jumping.
That's right.
And start flapping your wings.
Amen.
And every time something comes your way, devil trying to challenge you, you jump and you flap your wings on everything. I did it yesterday morning by the grace of God. I woke up in the middle of the night before last, having come back from a trip, and my sinuses was absolutely on fire. I thought, wow, you on a vacation, come back, had a good time. You know, because I've had this history in the past of getting sick on vacation or at the end of vacation or whatever. My wife's frowning, but it's true. My boss even makes jokes about it sometimes. You get sick, you know, when you go on vacation or whatever. And all through night, you know, I slept and I was aware. It's, oh, I can't believe this is happening. Why? What's the deal? You know, and I get up yesterday morning, I sit on the couch and I get my Bible and I'm sitting there. And the Lord during the trip this week was meditating, and I just realized, you know what? Just, you know how the Lord will cause you to see something. You know it intellectually, but then all of a sudden you see it in a clarity. And I just realized this week that once the Christian prays, there's not anything the devil can do to stop the effect of that prayer.
Right.
It's gone forth. And you know what I did? I sat there on the couch, and I'm thinking, oh, man. And my wife's fixing to leave. She's been gone this week. And I'm thinking, oh, I got about a week and a half of Kleenexes and my nose dripping and all this. I'm thinking, you know, chicken pen. Oh, these pigs. This is what you got to have. You got to have these walls around you of drippy nose and all that. You've got this curse on you and you've got to stay with it. What do you do? When that kind of thing, when Satan puts that kind of pin around you and says you're a chicken and you got to stay here, what do? You take what you've heard. You jump and you flap your wings. And that's what I did. I wasn't thinking about this, but I said, you know what? I do not accept this.
Amen.
I do not receive or accept this sickness. Praise God. Not even a symptom by middle of the day, not even a symptom of it, and I still don't have a symptom of it, see? Now, I'm not saying that to brag,
right.
But I'm telling you, see, jump and flap your wings, take what you've heard in this message and start putting it to use. Because God wants to get you out of this nest and out there, and that only happens one way. That's when you realize who you are,
yeah,
and you put it to use. Take that Old Testament, that New Testament that you've been given, that you've seen your Papa God expressed, that you've seen expressed in the ministry of William Branham, using that Old New Testament to soar into the things of the Word of God, right? Take those things and put them to use. Spread your beliefs. Spread your wings of faith. The Old and New Testament truth that you know is a balance of the God that we serve. Put those things in action and leap. Amen? And I think you'll get somewhere. Amen. I believe that. Do you?
Amen.
So, God bless you. Let the musicians come. Thank the Lord for bringing such a wonderful message in this day. For us to know we're eagles. Amen. That's why I appreciate Brother Daniel getting up here and saying, we're going to soar where we're supposed to be. I thought, okay, thank you, Lord. That's sick him, you know, like sick him, Brother Tony. That's what he did, you know. So, all right. Because sometimes you go, okay, well, God, I believe you gave this to me, but I'd really like to have a little bit more fire, you know, to go in there. And then Brother Daniel said, there's the match. Brother Tony lit the thing up, you know. But it's true. God wants us soaring. He wants us to leave this world. Amen. Let's just pray just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord, for the truth that you've given in this day. Oh, Lord, it is that cry, that eagle's voice that's coming to us, Lord, that has made us what we are. We recognize that to be you through a prophetic ministry in this day that you took and you made this Bible become a new book. And now, Lord, we truly have the strength of Old and New Testament here. We've seen it expressed to us with a prophet before us. And God, we hear your voice telling us that this lays within us. And so many types in the scriptures verify this same thing, that it's Elisha doing what Elijah did. And Lord, that the works that you did, we do. We believe that, Lord. And we just want to thank you and embrace these truths, Lord. And I ask God for the mercy and grace upon every life here, that when they are challenged by the devil, not just sometime, but every time, that they spread forth their wings and start jumping and flapping their wings. We ask God that you'd help them this way. Believe that you will give us victories untold. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and just worship the Lord for a little bit.
Spread your wings, eagle, and fly.
You know, I think the Lord Jesus Christ is a gentleman, and yet he has to be firm with us. And, you know, like a while ago when I said, you know, I said, is this okay? You know, because I was just going to go on with it anyway because I know it's right, you know. I don't ever want to be found making you feel like you've been manhandled. Because I've seen that, and I've seen what that does. Right? But sometimes, you know, you are corrected. You, as in a minister of the gospel, have to correct or whatever, but it's how you do it, you know. And so, I don't mean to be harsh or anything like that, by no means whatsoever. I don't want to be a tyrant or whatever. I want to be an example. I want to tell you the truth, because I want to be there with you. And if I tell you something and keep you from being there, I am not going to be there either. You know what I'm saying? Now, I realize predestination takes us a lot higher than that, okay? We know we're going to be there because the blood of Jesus Christ covers these things. But you know what? I want to tell you the truth and express it just like the Holy Spirit wants to express it through me. And so sometimes you say, is that right, you know, to get people to respond, you know, and cause them to stop and say, yes, that is right. And so that's, I didn't, you know, I'm not, you understand what I'm trying to say. So God bless you. It's been good to be with you today. It's good to be back with you.